Welcome back to the America Pray Now podcast, a podcast for people of prayer. Today we have a special interview with the pastor of Rivers of Life Fellowship in Newport News, Virginia, Pastor Bruce Van and his wife Yvette.
Thank you for joining us, and we're very interested in your story and your experience in prayer. Now you're a pastor of a church, and tell us a little bit about your experience as a pastor and also your experience with prayer and how that is, how prayer is a part of your experience as leading a congregation and impacting the community where you live.
Well, I can begin to start saying that Love and I, we have always prayer has been the priority of our marriage and definitely the ministry. I was going to a church called Rock Church in Virginia Beach, and John and Ann Jimenez was the pastor. And at the present time, it was, I think Jimmy Carter was in office. It was a lot of interest rate was very high. It was a lot of chaos going around the world with a lot of different types of things going around that was demonic, that was this awful, that wasn't pleasing unto God. And so my pastor, which is John Jimenez, he's now going to be with the Lord. He decided that we're going to go March for Jesus on Washington. And we went to D.C. and it was more than a million Christians. We gathered together on one accord and we prayed for this nation. My beloved and I, we weren't married at the time, but we saw the power and the presence of God that morning. It was April the 29th. 1980, and it was a powerful move in our lives where more than a million Christians got on Washington Monument and we prayed to the Lord. Theme's scripture was 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it made a powerful impact in our lives. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, he says, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Even at the very beginning of baby and I, a relationship, God just orchestrated in so many ways. And so power of prayer and coming together praying has always been the priority of our hearts and in our marriage, in our ministries, in our lives. It's like a first nature, when you say, you know, just, you know, we were praying. We're always praying. We have found over the years to just to be consistent in that, and God has blessed us. Before I had met my beloved, I remember being at Rock Church, and I was a single man, and I would love to get up there 6 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at noon, and then 6 o'clock in the evening, and I would just pray and cry out to God, seeking God, crying out to God, just praying, and that was just a powerful thing in my life, and how God has just orchestrated us to come together as one in so many ways. So early on, prayer has always been a priority of our hearts.
Amen. Yes. Well, my background is I come from a family of 12 children with 3 sets of twins in the 12. Everybody was at home at one point. I mean, I remember life with everybody. Prayer was always in the midst of my family. My mother and father, when I look back and reflect back on how life was when I was even a little kid, we always had time. My father always prayed with us. He always led us in prayer. Obviously, with being parents of 12 children, there was a lot of lack, there was a lot of needs, but we've watched God over the years provide and those principles were taught and demonstrated before me. It left a lasting impression upon my spirit. And I just wanted to reference Deuteronomy 6:7, where it says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in the house, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. you shall bind them in them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And for me, you know, I can say my parents taught us, you know, and even as a little kid, I didn't understand everything, didn't have a clue. But I watched God over the years provide. And I share this really quick story in that this is not dealing with the ministry, it's dealing with me. And I asked people, who's going to lend you money when you have 13 dependents to buy a house? Nobody I know. But I share this story because my parents had no way of buying a home, had no nothing. But I watched God provide. God had the next door neighbor to come talk to my mother. And she was a God-fearing woman, the next door neighbor was. And she said, I prayed about this. And my husband and I, we talked. She went on to say, God told us we're to sell this house to you. And you don't have to give us a down payment. You can send us every month what you want to send us. Wow. And so that was a powerful, upfront, close, personal demonstration of God, because I don't know anybody that got a house that they needed to buy, and you had no down payment, and you could send what you want every month. So my parents had an agreement with the next door neighbors, and they moved down to North Carolina. And bottom line is, God provided, I'll say, my parents with a home, and he did it in his ways, because his ways are above our ways. And it all comes from prayer. Absolutely. And living the life and just trusting God, because we can't figure it out. Yeah. We can't. God knows ways, and he moves according to the way that he wants to move. It's far beyond our understanding. We can't make things happen, but we can pray to God, the creator, and he can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or think. So there I just give God praise for that.
Yeah. It's just so important for us to realize that, you know, when we pray, we're communion before God. And what I love, you said, what I love about you, Kent, said at the beginning of your prayer, you said the word humility. Hmm. That touched my heart, because that's how it is. You got to be humble before God. Hmm. Yeah. You got to be committed to God. You got to keep a humble heart. That just pulled at my heart, because see, when God sees that our hearts are humble, he will do great things in our lives. And it amazes me every day how he answers prayer from the least to the most, whatever it may be. We've just seen God's hand of provision over our lives and over the lives of others. I'm reminded of something Billy Graham said. He says, we were created to live a life of prayer. Much to pray for, much to pray about. There's so much to be praying and believing God and seeking his face and calling up his name. But I have found over these many years that we just need to stay humble before him, continue to seek his face, continue to be obedient to his will. Love said it earlier, live a holy life. Keep living a holy and a righteous life. Keep doing what is right before the Lord. And one of the things I've learned being married to this my bride, she says, okay, what did God tell you to do before then? Go back to that. And if you don't know what to do, well, you know, what was the last thing he told you to do? Mm-hmm. And so it's always, I'm learning every day that he's an amazing God, and he have done extraordinary things in our lives for these 44 wonderful years.
You did good. It is 44 years.
44 years. But I tell you, so in the midst of me going to Rock Church in Virginia Beach, I just want to say that it really made a powerful impact in our lives early on. And to see all those millions of Christians crying out before God, it was military there. It was all kinds of people, but it was more than a million people, Christians, praying. The Washington Lawn. Yeah.
Mall.
Back in 1980. Mm-hmm. So that just made a powerful impact in
Absolutely.
Our lives.
Amen. That's a wonderful testimony. Thanks for sharing that. And thanks too for sharing the examples of answered prayer. That's important. you recognize there's sort of history may not repeat itself, but it rhymes. You probably see in your church young couples, maybe they're not married, much like you weren't at one time, but now you are, and you have the testimony of the prayers that you've shared, or the answer to prayers that you've shared. You probably see others in your church who are coming along a path similar to what you followed, but they are confronting some of the same challenges that you once faced. How do you teach people in your congregation to pray? Understanding, of course, that you learned prayer, Pastor Van, you learned prayer, it sounds like, in the church setting. Your wife was taught in the family setting, it seems, just based on the testimonies that I've heard. And I'm sure there's testimonies from your experience in family life as well. But you've got the family and you've got the church, and you've got both working together in your congregation right now. How do you see that prayer is the practice of prayer is taught and caught, if you will? Maybe it's better caught than taught. Maybe it's better felt than told. I don't know. I'd just be interested in your how you see it playing out in your setting, in your congregation.
Well, I would say that one of the things I've learned, sheep can be very special. and so I've learned to, yes, with Love and I will see some couples and singles, and, you know, they go through this and different things. And so I believe there are times when I would pull them aside based on the issue. And of course, and then pray with them, try to show them according to the word, to some answers of the situations that they're facing. And then sometimes I had to go and just kind of pray about and ask, Lord, what you would have me to say to this individual or those individuals, how to help them. I've learned over the years just to wait on the right timing to express something to them, to help them, to make them become a better Christian, a better wife, a better husband, whatever the case may be. I find that it just takes patience, takes time. It takes me humbling myself to ask God what you would have me to say to that individual, to those, because everybody, different ones, face different things. And so I've learned to just, okay, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? What is it that you want me to say? How can I be effective? What about you, Beth?
Well, I think we have to be real. People want realness.
Yeah.
They want realness between us as leaders. They want realness with God. And I think when we can demonstrate lovingly, very lovingly, no matter what the need is, the prayer need is, we need to be sensitive and compassionate to people, and we need to walk with them at times. You know, when I say walk, yes, I'm going to pray for you right here, right now, but I may need to call that person back in 2 days and just say, hey, I just want to encourage you and let you know that I'm still praying with you. I'm standing with you regarding, you know, this prayer matter. And I think that encourages people, because I'm convinced, I'll speak for myself, there are moments in our life that we can't pray for ourselves. Sometimes a fiery dot from the enemy hits us and blindsides us and knocks us over, just knocks the wind out of us. Yeah. And we've lost all focus and everything. Yeah. But it's during those times that we really are important to one another to pray for each other, because you know, nobody, sometimes you don't expect the wind being knocked out of you for whatever the reason is, but we need one another.
Yes, we do.
We need one another, and we need to pray for one another and take it very seriously. Not just say, oh yeah, I think about him or her. No, we need to just pray. And it's not that we have to go somewhere for 5 hours and pray, but let's just call one another's name before the Lord. And I, when I look back over my life, I can say, there are times when I get on the other side of the trial, whatever it was, that I can say, you know, I know I didn't get over here by myself. Mm-hmm. Somebody was praying for me.
Absolutely.
Seriously. Right. Somebody yeah. was praying for me.
Yes.
And I've arrived through the prayers of the saints. Mm-hmm. Somebody yeah. else lifted me up before the Lord because it wasn't me by yeah. myself. So I just think we have to be there as leaders. We got to be there for one another. Absolutely. And take time. And sometimes, you know, the load get heavy, but we still just got to keep on praying. Because what if Jesus stopped praying for us? The verse says he makes intercession right. for the Father. We'd be in trouble if he stopped making intercession before the Father yeah. on our behalf. Right.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I know that I've learned one of the things that we try to stress at Rivers of Life Fellowship Church is that when we don't see somebody on a Sunday morning, we make it very plain. Please keep one another in prayer. We share that with the member consistently. You know, whatever they are going through, whether they're that Sunday or not, whatever it can be, please keep one another in prayer. Because I'm here to tell you, when you stand in the gap on behalf of others, I have found over the years, God would not only just bless you, but it calls for you to not keep your eyes upon the situation, but keep your eyes up on the Lord. For me.
Be mindful of the one out of the 90, yeah, the 99 and one, right?
The
one who's missing is often the one that needs prayer the most.
Yeah.
That's a good segue to another question that I have. What regular practices do you have in your congregation centered on prayer? Do you have a weekly prayer meeting? Do you undoubtedly have prayer during your worship services on Sunday? But what other opportunities do members of your congregation have to enter into corporate prayer?
We've just recently started a GroupMe app, which is for the members. And so whenever there's a prayer need, an immediate need, we can send that out on that GroupMe app, say, hey, such and such is going on. We solicit your prayers. Keep sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so in prayer. So we don't have to wait till we come back together. There's an immediate opportunity daily to bring these prayers and corporately to pray. But we also, we as a church body, we set a Bible study. We do a corporate prayer. We invite all the members and whomsoever to come and let's pray. Let's pray for the needs of the body. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for our community.
Yeah.
You know, the children, our teenagers, pray for marriages. Yeah. And so we do that at least once a month. Yeah. And
that's awesome.
Because it's needed. Needed. And prayer is what's going to keep the glue between us, to be honest.
Yeah.
If we don't come together and pray, we're going to lose that, you know, because all of us need to come and humble ourselves before God.
Absolutely.
And we need to do it personally, but we also need to do it corporately.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
Very true.
Since you undertook to have those monthly meetings, as you've described them, is there a tangible results that you could point to or share with us as to prayers answered, people touched, lives turned around? Marriage is healed.
Yep, different types of testimonies as we have prayed and believed for, from dealing with someone maybe having an addiction or someone may be having a struggle in their marriage. And we have prayed and we have saw the answers of those prayers through that. We've seen, you know, a number of times.
We've seen needs met. We had one lady who... She had never married. She never had children. And most of her family was out of state. And so we became family for her, basically.
Yes, we did.
But there were many needs that arose that were associated with her. But to collectively, as a body, as we prayed for her needs, her health needs, even her her times where she needed to move, we were able... prayers were answered on her behalf.
Yeah.
So that her needs could be met. Because we're part of the body of Christ. This is not a one man solo, you know, thing to do, but we're here to pray for one another and to minister to one another. And We've also seen opportunities for our youth, some, you know, to do well in school,
yeah.
praying for them, because there's a lot of things yeah. that goes on in the schoolhouse.
Yes.
And Christian children, you know, they need the prayers. And we pray for holy boldness among them, you know, that they would be able to, as God lead them, whether they're in kindergarten or up in college, you know, that God would give them the boldness to stand in this chapter of their life. And yeah. so they need our prayers.
Absolutely.
And we've seen God keep them, and we've yeah. seen God
Absolutely.
Strengthen them and grow yeah. them, you know. So it's a blessing. It's, most of all, is a blessing to see growth as a result of prayer.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Pastor Van, tell me, well, actually, let me rephrase that. Imagine you're speaking to a group of other pastors like yourself, like you and your wife. What strong encouragement could you give them, or would you give them, to make prayer central to the life of their congregation?
I lean back again and say the word that you said in your prayer, humble.
Mm.
Be humble before God. And to if it's a group of pastors or a group of men, whosoever it is, try to be a mentorship to someone, but at the same time, humble yourself and ask God what you would have me to say to them, and how you would have me to articulate to help them in some manner. As a young pastor, I would say the main thing they need to do, if they marry, they need to prioritize their marriage as unto God. Take that marriage very seriously. Baby and I know we're not just going to have somebody just to be up there and just say that because he can speak well or whatever. Well, we're looking at their lifestyle. We're looking at their lifestyle. Is it pleasing unto the Lord? Are they doing what and honoring God? So it's a number of different things that I can kind of throw out to just to kind of encourage the pastors, encourage them in their prayer life, encourage them to do what is right, encourage them to definitely read your word, to definitely be connected to a local church. So it's a lot of different things like that that I would just try to tell them that's to be all what God wants them to be. There's so many things that I have experienced, and Love and I have experienced together in relating to the power of prayer. I'm a part of a group with it's called All for Jesus. And this group consists of other pastors and other leaders and other ministers. And we did a lot of outreach for us on the beach and senior citizen places, different things that God would have us to go. And we have gathered together with all other churches coming together, to pray and to encourage one another. And I've been a part of this group, I guess, 9 years now. It's been a real awesome. But one of the things that really blessed my heart 2 years ago, we had the Korean people come to our church and pray.
Hmm.
And that blessed my heart so much. And the reason why they came is because what Billy Graham did over there in Korea many years ago of sharing the gospel of Jesus yeah. Christ. And they came back and they told us as a group. And the reason why they wanted to come to pray for us, because they said, if America goes, then they go. Mm. That's why we need to pray. And so that blessed my heart. So so it was like maybe about 8 different churches, and I was one of the churches where we came together, and they prayed for us and we prayed for them. And that blessed my heart to see
wow.
the humility of those Korean people. These are just regular people, This, it's not about a title or anything. These are just regular people. They was crying out on our behalf as American people. And we did the same and prayed for their country as well. So those things like that just touch my heart. Every time I think about that, we're just so powerful to pray corporately and to pray together with them. That just touched my heart every time I think about it.
Is there anything else that you want to share about your personal experience or your experience in leading the people in your congregation and in your community? Anything that occurs to you that would be encouraging, perhaps instructive, but also encouraging to other pastors or other?
Sure. one of the questions here is what were some of the most powerful prayer meetings you remember and what made them stand out? I was telling Hannah one of the things I did coming up as a teenager, our pastor, he taught us to believe God. And when there was no way, to just trust him and believe him. And so we watched him lead the congregation. When I first started going to the church, we were in an old furniture storefront. And God moved us from there to another church building and on and on. And the church still exists and God has blessed. But one of the things I remember back in the 70s, we would, as young people, the church would have all night prayer meetings on Friday. And we would go Friday night and pray until the next morning. And, you know, in the midst of that, of course, you don't hear about that among young people nowadays, among even regular people, because everybody's gotten so busy and so this and that and all of that. And as I heard somebody say today, we need to stop letting our calendar manage us, but we need to manage the calendar. Mm-hmm. We need to stop filling it with all of these things. But anyway, back to prayer meeting time. As youth, we had when I was growing up in the church, we had a very powerful youth ministry. I mean, powerful. And we pray and we would believe and we saw God open doors. And I remember this one time, this wasn't at a youth meeting, but it was a rather regular prayer meeting. We had an evangelist to come, and he was a mighty man of God. And he says, "Who is it in here that wants to believe God? If you got cavities in your mouth, let's believe God to fill your mouth with some silver fillings." And so, you know, you hear that, you think, wow, that's kind of way out there. But we actually had three people that had their mouths filled with silver. And they came back with the report from the dentist to say this. And the dentist said, "Well, who did your work?" They said, "God." And, you know, it was just electrifying to hear this testimony, because he said, "I felt God filling my mouth." This person, this woman that was sharing, "I felt him filling my mouth with filling my fillings," you know. Awesome. It was a powerful testimony. God's awesome power. It's not, his ways are above our ways, and his thoughts are above our way, our thought. And we've seen bones grow out. You know, where the leg is shorter than the other. We've just seen God do miracle, just miracle after miracle. And even in my own personal life, I shared this quick testimony as I prayed. I had a brother who was, at the time, he was 35 years old. And I just talked to him the night before, and he was a picture of health when I saw him. Well, the next day I get a call saying, "Hey, Michael's in the hospital. He's fallen off with some scaffolding. And, you know, they don't know if he's going to make it through the night." I'm like, what? So I leave work and I run up to the hospital, and I get there, and my sister-in-law is there. And she said, "Yeah, they don't think he's going to make it through the night. He's had a brain aneurysm." And I said, "What?" And so I'm standing there. This is one of these moments where it was just hard for me to collect myself, to get myself focused. But I finally got to the point where, you know, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but Father, we need you. And so another nurse came over and says, "Well, we don't know. Things are not looking good. We don't think he's going to make it through the night." But I had to just pray, and we had to pray, and we prayed, and he did make it through the night. And God was good. He was in a coma, but God kept him 7 more years.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, we can't tell God how to do whatever it is he wants to do, but we just have to believe him. We have to trust him.
Yeah.
God is good.
Yeah.
God is faithful. He don't always answer prayers the way that we think they should be answered, but he does answer.
Yes, he
and
does.
We give him the glory and the honor, because he's awesome just like that.
Yes, he is.
And so we serve, we believe God, and we trust God. And even as our church family, I have to share this testimony because it's very similar to the one I shared with you about my parents. We have been praying, you know, years ago we were meeting in the mall, the community room at the mall. And that was a blessing, believe it or not. It was a blessing, because it allowed us to, you know, to save some money and say, "Lord, whenever you give us the opportunity to buy something or wherever this church is going to be, we'll have something." the time came where, you know, we had to move. Mm-hmm. And so we were out and it was cold. It was in February. We were out looking at places and like, well, Lord, where is it? And where's the building? Well, what is it you want us to look at? Before that, you and I had gone somewhere. I think we had flown down to Texas to see his brother. And I was up in that airplane and I could just see, you know, when you're up in an airplane, you can see all these houses, buildings. I'm like, well, God, you own all of these houses and buildings. Where's the one that you have for us?
Yes.
You know, like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as the word tells us to seek and to knock, and we knocked on doors and looked at this place and that place.
Went out.
Still had no peace about anything. And so finally we just said, you know, we're just going to rest here. And this was involving the church family. We just telling the church family, we just have to believe God. We don't know where it is.
Yeah.
And so Pastor Van was at work one day. He worked retail. In walks a pastor at the store that he's working at. And he says, do you know anybody that's looking to buy a church? He said, yeah, I am. Really? Yes. He said, yes, I am. We are, you know. And so he described where the church was. And I'm like,
that is incredible.
That's down the street from where we got married, you know.
Yep.
And so I said, I know exactly where that church is. Yeah. And so we go and we look at it. I run out over on my lunch hour. And he, I don't know if it was you were off that ever. So we run over there and we look at the church and we say nothing to each other. We just looked around and says, this is it. This is it. And the blessing of that is, you know, we had a very small congregation.
Yeah.
And the way banks want you to
have so many units.
You got to have so many units, so many family members. Yeah. And got to see how much you bring. You normally get, you know, contributions that come in and all of this.
Yeah.
But once again, we told the pastor, we said, well, pastor, this is what we got. We got X for a down payment.
Yep.
And is it possible that your church will finance us? So he said, well, I'll take it back to my board.
Yep.
So he takes it back to his board. And the board said, yes, we will finance you.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have to go through a banking institution.
Wow.
But look at God. He opened doors that we know not of.
Yeah.
We don't know where it is, how to get there. But when we trust him, we believe him, and we hold his promises, he will make a way.
He will every time.
He will make a way out of no way.
Can I interject here a little bit?
Yes, sir.
And relating to when they said, well, he said, not only are we going to finance it, he said, but you make the payment whatever you want to give.
That's right. He said,
wow.
Whatever you want to give.
Every month, tell us. And I said, God, you're doing it again, God.
Yeah.
And I know what I tell him. I said, God, you're showing off again, God. You're showing off one more time.
And in the midst of it, you know, we not only made the payment, but we put a little extra on it, and we wound up paying it off in a very short period of time. And God blessed us where we paid off the building. Now, mind you, we have a very small congregation.
But God made a way.
But God opened doors. God blessed us. And so Love and I have learned over the years, just simply obey God.
Yeah.
He opened doors beyond your comprehension, and you just obey God.
Yeah.
That's what we have learned over the years. Just keep obeying God. I got one scripture that just keep pulling after me, found in Jeremiah 29, 12. He said, then you will call upon me, and I will go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. See, God will listen to us.
Amen.
He will listen to us.
Yes.
Call up on him. He's right there every time. Call him. Keep seeking his face. Keep being obedient. Keep living right. Keep honoring God. Keep doing what pleases God. And I have learned, Love and I have learned over the years, that God will bless you exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could even ask or think.
Hallelujah.
That's a good word. That's a powerful testimony and a powerful word. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Maybe we can invite Pastor Van to pray. Please, could you close us in prayer?
Lord, we love you so much. And thank you for this day. We thank you that your word declares where two or three are gathered together sincerely, wholeheartedly, Lord God, you are in the midst of us. And so we honor you. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing. It's all that you continue to do in our lives. We commit our ways unto you, and your word declares, Father, that our very thoughts shall be established. Thank you, Father God, for America Pray Now and the group as we continue just to do what pleases you, Lord God. continue to make yourself real to us and then show us the pathway that you have, Father, for going from city to city, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Continue just to use, Father, us as a body of believers who love you and honor you, God, that we're crossing the non-denominational lines to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Father. Thank you for these men. Thank you for this day. And God, we give you all the glory sincerely, Lord, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for the America Pray Now podcast. If you have enjoyed these podcasts, we also publish a magazine on prayer that is free of charge and can be delivered directly to your home. You can sign up for this magazine on our website at americapraynow.com. In addition to our weekly podcast, we also meet in 16 different cities every month to pray in person. Most of our in-person prayer meetings are in Virginia, and we also have meetings in Maryland, West Virginia, Delaware, and North Carolina. Please see our websites for times and dates. Until next time, may God bless you.